Amen. Wonderful choir this morning. Good job, everyone in the body of Christ. So thankful for that. In these worship songs, our songs prepared to prepare our hearts to receive the Lord, to express our gratitude and our joy and our thanksgiving, but to ready us for what God has next for us from his word this morning. The children that are in here this morning, you're dismissed to go to Sunday school at this time. We thank you for being a part of our worship time together. And your Sunday school teachers are in the lobby to meet you and take you to your class. Thank you for being a part of our worship time together. We're going to be looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to be talking about spiritual warfare this morning. We'll get to that in just a minute. We have Bibles up front here and in back and around. If you don't have a Bible, please take one of these Bibles. Even consider it as a gift to you today. So we want to take a couple of minutes. If you need a Bible, grab one, but move around, greet one another, say hello to one another at this time. Okay, we're going to go ahead and stand. We're going to go ahead and stand and open up our Bibles this morning. As you're standing, we want you to open up your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to look at just the first six verses this morning. We're going to be speaking about waging spiritual warfare. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1, this is what the Bible says. God's speaking to us. Now I, Paul, myself, I'm pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who is in presence, who in presence am lowly amongst you, but being absent, I am bold together toward you. But I beg you that when I am present, I may not be bold with confidence by which I intend to be bold against some who think of us as if we walk according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Father in heaven, we thank you that you have brought us to this section of Scripture today. And I know that studying your word has helped me and renewed again a deeper understanding of the situations that we face. And I pray, God, that you'd open up all of our hearts to hear from you this morning. Encourage the downcast, comfort those that are brokenhearted, but for all of us, further equip us to help us understand the day and time in which we live and how to really contend with the battles we face. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. My father was a World War II veteran and fought in Europe and Germany and the going across second wave in Normandy. But it's really interesting growing up because I knew my dad as a LAPD officer for 30 years. He was that position. But as a young boy, I always had questions, but he never talked about the war and really seldom talked about the action on the police department. And I always had a bit of curiosity, wondering, hey, Pops, what's up, man? It wasn't until 9/11 happened. When 9/11 happened in 2001, I called Dad on the phone and said, Dad, we got to talk. Because you were a young boy when our nation was attacked. And here I am. And I have questions for you, Pops. We just got attacked. Our nation is under siege right now. And I need to understand things. And we had some good conversations. Today, I have about 1,000 more questions I could wish I could ask my dad. But he began to explain to me. He said that when he arrived on the beach and dealing with the combat going on, he was carrying ammunition to begin. And in a short period of time, he became a sergeant of the unit. And I was saying, Dad, I'm as your son, I'm proud of you. He goes, son, it's not a situation to be proud of. I lost my partners in the battle. They were killed, and that's the position I had to fill. I was just stunned and taken back. And I asked him, Dad, what was the hardest thing? You know, as a young man, I mean, they're 18 years old. He wanted to go when he was a senior in high school. He turned 18 in March, and his dad said, finish high school. But that would not be uncommon at that time. So he finished. He graduated as an 18-year-old in June when school's out, and then went right to training, to boot camp. But, Dad, what was the hardest thing that you had to face? Tell me. He said, son, it's the day when bullets are coming at you and you realize people want to kill you. He goes, the first day that I was under fire, people wanting to kill me, was that hardest day. And you live through it for the next day and the next day and the next day. And I give that illustration today to help us really understand. When I got saved, I mean, it's as though heaven's grace was raining upon me as a 25-year-old. It's like it's incredible. All my sins have been forgiven. I'm a new person in Christ Jesus. I'm using those terms right now. I had no clue what they meant at the time. I just knew that the burden of guilt and shame had been lifted and forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. And it's just so exciting. And I just couldn't see how anybody else wouldn't want to accept Christ. And in a huge amount of zeal with very little knowledge, I just went around shaking people. Jesus saves. And I have a family of 11 in our family, including me. And I became royally obnoxious to all of them. Jesus saves. Don't you understand? He saves us. And I just think my mom said to my dad, he's really losing it now. And it just takes time. And I believe that God visits us as new believers with a tremendous amount of grace. He just underwrites so much. I had no clue of any spiritual battles in those beginning weeks and months. It's just like, God, he can do anything. And he was on the move. But then again, as time went by, why is there such strong opposition? What's going on? Why am I struggling the way that I'm struggling? And I had no idea that I was in a spiritual battle. That the Christian life, the toughest day, is the day when you realize you're in a battle and you need to have the weapons of warfare to fight and contend with that battle. When it's speaking about in the scriptures today, speaking about this battle that we're facing. It's a campaign. And this campaign has been going on for over 2,000 years. When we get into the scriptures today and we see in chapter 10, some commentators were in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And we've studied the first 9 chapters, but some commentators point out from chapter 10 to the rest of the book, it's almost like a different Paul, that he's been ministering. The first letter, 1 Corinthians, it was corrective. There was ungodly spiritual behavior. There's immorality. There's lots of things. He spent that first letter correctively. But now we find that he's in a position where he's being personally attacked by false teachers. They say he's not really an apostle. There's many accusations against him. And this left the church confused, and Paul found himself in a spiritual battle and in a conflict that's going on. And I would have to think that he'd be familiar with the words of Jesus. Blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you, when they say all kinds of things falsely against you. For my name's sake, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Even Jesus would say in John 15, the world would love its own, yet because you are not of this world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. And that's a hard thing to realize, because you're filled with the love of God and the grace of God and the truth of God and the passion for God. And the passion for the lost. And the last thing you think about is people that would hate you. But you are in a warfare. You are in a battle. Many marriages, they continue on combatively with one another. Hearts are distant from one another. What has gone on? What is happening? And husband and wife, believers in Christ, they start to attack one another, and they don't realize it's a spiritual battle. We don't battle against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers of darkness, and we'll see that in a few minutes. We get to verse 1 of chapter 10. Paul is speaking, and he's saying, I'm pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence I'm lowly amongst you, but being absent, I'm bold towards you. So these false teachers, they had an opinion about Paul. And their opinion is expressed in a way in chapter 10, verse 10, where it says, they're speaking about Paul. They say, his letters, they're weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak, and his speech is contemptible. So the great Paul, and when I hear somebody say that about the Apostle Paul, I just want to stand up and say, bring it. You're saying that about Paul? I mean, who are you? But the false prophets were doing that. You see, Paul wasn't some eloquent speaker. We know that Apollos was. Paul didn't have the appearance that would gain him access on Christian TV or anything else like that. You wouldn't find him in the circles of gold dust falling from the ceilings and some of the other bizarre things that take place. There was nothing about him. And they would say that he's actually, who says he's an apostle? He says he's an apostle. He's not an apostle. So this is what he was contending with. And that's what he's speaking about. And he says that when I'm coming to you, I come in meekness and in gentleness of Christ. And we got to clarify that word meekness for just a minute, because the word meekness, as it is used here, there's a place that the Lord uses that word meekness. I am gentle and lowly in heart, this meekness. Jesus Christ takes the word meekness, and it's an attribute that he uses for himself. And I'm not certain, but at this point, I think it's the only place I've found where Jesus uses a particular attribute to describe himself. Come to me, all you who are heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am lowly in heart and gentle and meek, and you'll find rest for your soul. And Paul is saying, I choose to be like Jesus. You're identifying me in a way that not meeting your expectations. But Paul would say, I'm being faithful to what God's asked me to be. I'm coming like Jesus Christ. I am meek. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And just to make it really clear, meekness is not weakness. Meekness is powerful. Meekness is strength under control. It's a wonderful fruit of the Spirit to have. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, meekness from the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul didn't use his position to demand people to serve him, and neither should any pastor or leader should be a humble servant before the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2, I beg you that when I am present, I may not be bold with that confidence which I intend to be bold against some who think of us as though we walk according to the flesh. Again, what he's saying is, these false teachers, and it's interesting because we'll learn in a few weeks in 2 Corinthians 11, these false prophets, these false apostles, they're deceitful workers. They transform themselves into apostles. And it says, no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. So Paul is coming, and Paul could be bold when he needed to be bold, but he's coming in the likeness of Jesus Christ. But he could be bold. I went over to Acts chapter 13, and he's facing a sorcerer. And it says in Acts 13, Paul was filled with the Holy Spirit. He looked intently at this man, and he said to this man, O, full of all deceit and all fraud, you're a son of the devil. You're the enemy of righteousness. Will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord? And now, indeed, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and shall blind you, and you're not going to see the sun for some time. Paul was not necessarily meek in that situation. Paul was bold, and he brought it on. As a pastor, as your pastor, I would pray for the fruit of the Spirit. I would want to be gentle and humble of heart, definitely. But believe me, if there's false prophets or people that are undermining the work and the word of Jesus Christ in our fellowship, I have a Louisville slugger. I'm not saying it would be confrontation here. What I'm saying is we stand strong for the truth of God and whatever it takes to represent the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul would say in Romans 8, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And that's what he had. He had the life and the peace. What does it mean to be carnally minded? Those who belong to Christ, we've crucified the flesh and its passion and its desires, Galatians 5:24 states. Jesus would say in Mark 8:34, if anyone wants to follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Crucifying the flesh illustrates putting to death our selfishness and our sinful desires. And now we get into this idea of the spiritual warfare. In verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. We do not buy into worldly ideologies. The battle is very real. Our nation is facing a great battle unlike never before right now. And so is the church. And so is the work of God and the people of God. The battle is very real. It's intense. There's no letting up. When you see Supreme Court justice can't figure out what a woman is and can't define what a woman is, we're in trouble. But the Supreme Court did recognize that women have a right to participate without a man in that sport this week with the Supreme Court, which was a great ruling. And as I communicated earlier with the Washington Association of Athletics in our state, WIAA, in the past, they sent back a letter saying they're following federal guidelines. Well, I'm sending a follow-up letter this week because follow the guidelines the Supreme Court just put in place. If you're going to hold true to what you said, now it's your turn to move in the right direction. These are spiritual battles. In other words, what we're talking about isn't isolated to a pew or a seat or a Sunday morning service. It has to affect how I live. I see this is a spiritual battle that's taking place. You want to demolish Israel. You don't want to stand with Israel. You want to allow their enemies to come in and to crush them. You finance other nations to buy weapons for their physical warfare against a nation that we should be praying for and supporting. That's why we support Israel, and we can give good reasons for that if anyone contests that. We've had a few that have contested that idea as though Israel is involved in genocide. Nothing could be further from the truth. It's absolutely the opposite that's taking place. These are spiritual battles. We walk in the flesh. What he means is we're not fleshly. I'm a human being. I walk as a human being, but I do not battle according to the flesh. We battle according to the Spirit. Listen to what the Apostle John, the Apostle of Love, the one who wrote the book of Revelation through the Holy Spirit. In 1 John 2:14, I've written to you, fathers, listen up, dads, because you have known him who's from the beginning. And I've written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Our victory is through the word of God. We're going to see specifically about these weapons of our warfare. He's writing to the Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, they were involved in all kinds of sin and immorality and perversions. And he says, and such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God. We had a chance to have some time away. We spent some time in Montana. It's the fifth time we've gone, 5 years straight, which has been a great blessing for us and our family. We've come to know a certain place that we go to and some of the people. It was really interesting. One of the people who is hotel manager was so excited. He knew we were coming. He helped out with our reservations, but he was so excited. He goes, I need to talk to you. I says, absolutely. I said, can't talk during your work time. Respectful to that, but we'll take you to lunch. And he says, will my fiance come? Absolutely, of course. And so we went to lunch, and he just wanted to communicate. He said, there's something that you did, something that you said a couple years ago, and it's affected me. And he used the word, the Spirit of God is working in my life right now. And he said, when you came in and you registered your first day there, you also gave me a book, and you said, I'd like to give you a love story. You said it's your favorite love story. And he said, that confirmed to me what God is wanting me to do. And we have these books in back, and they're available for free to any one of you that want to share the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. What a joy to be able to pray for this couple that's seeking God's work in their life. God uses us. So even though I'm away from here, I'm not away from the Lord. We're not away from what God wants to do. We're not away from the battle. We're not away from the realities of life and situations. My wife was in a retail place and was at the counter talking to a fellow there, and I was able to come over. She waved me on, and he goes, I really struggled with my life. I became an alcoholic, a young man. Very nice. He goes, I've been sober for a short period of time, but I know that I'm on the edge and I need prayer. Would you two pray for me? He said, absolutely. We went back the following day just to follow up on stuff. Why am I sharing that? I'm sharing that is because we're talking about spiritual warfare and spiritual battle, and it's all going on all time, full time. So whether we're here in the church, whether we're at somebody that is looking to seek the Lord, somebody that's found the Lord but is struggling in that battle, whether we're talking about nations of the world or our own nation. Verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare, that means the weapons of the campaign, are not carnal. They're mighty in or through God for the pulling down of strongholds, of fortresses, lies and deceptions. People say to me, Pastor, what would you say would be one of the main indications that we're living in the last days? Aside from me, my answer would be, well, Israel would be a great one to start with. But Jesus says, do not be deceived. And deception is widespread. You cannot turn on a TV. You can't listen to somebody, a leader, whatever else, without just being cautious of really what's going on. Even for me, we record everything. So if there is an ungodly agenda, if there's something that is not true or accurate according to the Word of God, I stand accountable to you and to some other senior pastors for what is communicated to here, because it has to be from the Word of God to the people of God. And so these weapons of our warfare are mighty. And you don't overcome the flesh with the flesh. And this is important, because colleges can produce, or cemeteries and seminaries can produce somebody that is well attractive in appearance, well educated, has initials after his degree and his title, and it doesn't mean a thing. I mean, it means it accounts for what you did, and I don't want to minimize that. But we cannot do God's work in the power of our own strength. It must be in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the point. The power, not by my might, not by my strength, but by the power. There was a well-known professor at Dallas Theological Seminary, and it was just been a good school in the past, and we appreciate the work and the fruitfulness from that ministry. But his graduating seniors, he had a chance to be with them as one of them were going to speak for the first time. And this young graduate got up, popped out of his seat in the congregation, was bold and a bit arrogant, and totally failed on the message. I could relate. And he sat down rejected. And the professor said, if you would have went up the way you came down, you would have come down the way you went up. And there's this idea that we're looking at the weapons of our warfare. They're not carnal. They're mighty in God for pulling down the stronghold. What are those weapons? It's faith. It's prayer. It's God's word. It's his Holy Spirit. It's fellowshipping with the saints. It's the testimony. It's the headship of Christ in our lives. We've been given weapons that we can fight with. So it's been 45 years since I've been a follower of Jesus Christ. What a joy. Got married right away. We moved to Denver, from then Denver to Seattle. Then after 7 years, came on staff, was there. Total amount of 12 years, and then we came up here and started this work 32 plus years ago. And being around the body of Christ for 45 years, it's exciting, it's a blessing. But the least attended service is a prayer gathering in any church that we have. Any church, that's the least. And that's not to download guilt, it's just to say, brothers and sisters, prayer is essential. We ignore prayer. You say, no, I pray. Do you pray with your wife? Do you pray with your husband? Do you pray with your children? Are you about? I mean, is prayer, do you understand? The weapons of our warfare are mighty in God. And we set those the main weapon we set aside. Prayer is one of the main weapons with the Word of God. That's how we win the battles. That's how it happens. What would it be like if a husband just was brokenhearted and say, I'm sorry for the way that I've been treating you. I was listening to the message. They said three words. I was wrong. I am sorry. Please forgive me. Simple words, but it takes a heart behind that. It takes a man, a woman. We have been in a spiritual battle. We've been at each other's throats for too long. We didn't realize we're playing into the hands of the enemy. I want to be set free. I need God's word, for the word of God is living in Hebrews 4:12. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. I was a young boy. I grew up in the Roman Catholic Church, as many of you know. I went to parochial school for 12 years. I, at the youngest age, learned Latin, which is surprising, shocking. I could barely speak English on a lot of words. So I just memorized. It was rote in my head. And I was in charge then of all the altar boys, of all the things, of weddings, funerals, and all of that at a young age, 6th, 7th, 8th grade, 9th, and whatever else like that. But I was lost. And it wasn't until I was 25 that I was saved. But when I was getting close, I remembered an aspect of the Mass. This is the word of the Lord. And we'd say, thanks be to God. And that echoed in my mind, I need God's word. I need God. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. I went and got a Bible and began to read the Bible, and God began to speak to my heart through the Holy Spirit, because it's living, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. So maybe some of us have been fighting battles in the flesh instead of contending in the spirit. Jesus would say, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. He said, it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Combating Satan, he said, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. When we begin to look at verse 5, casting down arguments, imaginations, that's what that is. Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God or the word of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Every high and lofty thing that opposes itself to the gospel. And it's in the mind. And that's where the battle's at. That's where your battle is at and my battle is at, is in the mind. That's why the scripture says, have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's where it's fought at. The thoughts come into your mind and you wrestle through them. But we need to bring the word of God and saturate our mind. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Proverbs 4:23. 1 Peter 1:13. Gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully on the grace of God. I'm so blessed by Isaiah 26:3. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. So now, if you wouldn't mind, to strengthen this message, we would turn over to Ephesians chapter 6. It's to the right, not very many pages over. Ephesians chapter 6 helps us understand in a clearer way what these weapons of our warfare are. Ephesians chapter 6, familiar to many of you, I'm sure, but important to bring the scriptures together. Paul is saying that we have to fight the battle, the weapons of our warfare. In verse 10 of chapter 6 of Ephesians, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Not strong in your own strength. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It has to be from the Lord. Jesus would say, without me, you can do nothing. Put on the whole, verse 11 of Ephesians 6, put on the whole armor of God. Not part of it. All of it. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil or the schemes of the devil. Verse 12. He's helping us understand, brothers and sisters, we're in a battle. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. My battle isn't against you. It's against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. And you say, Pastor, give an illustration then. How does that really work out? You ready for it? It comes from Daniel chapter 10, verse 12, 13, and 14. Let me just read this. So Daniel's praying. It says, and when he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before God. So he's saying, Daniel, I'm communicating with you. You set your heart to pray and to know God's will. It's a good thing. Your words were heard, so heaven heard. And I've come, a response from heaven. I've come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. What's this saying? My friends, there is one devil, Satan, one ruler. He rebelled, and he took a third of the angels, which would be fallen angels, with him. That makes up this principalities and powers of darkness. It's not multiplying, it's set in place. So there's a satanic, Satan, the devil, he leads. He has an organization. I'm going to stop for just a moment. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. Continue. So he's saying that the demonic realm had the kingdom of Persia as a stronghold, as a fortress, a stronghold. You don't think there's strongholds in Washington, D.C. and in other major cities around our nation? There could be strongholds in your own home. There could be strongholds within your mind. God wants to knock these fortresses down that have been set up. Verse 13, therefore take up the whole armor of God. He's repeating that. That you may be able to withstand in the evil day. We're living in the evil day, having done all to stand. So he's asking for our participation. He didn't say to walk away, to hide, to vanish. That's what politicians do. He says, stand. Verse 14, stand, having girded your waist with the truth. So here it is, friends, brothers and sisters, here it is. Here's what he's saying. The weapons of our warfare. Your waist with the truth. The first thing he says is truth. We need the truth. We need to go to the Word of God and have the truth. You're in a spiritual battle. How do we win these battles? We pray. We go to the Word of God. We ask God for his help in these battles. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. You go to the scriptures, Proverbs. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Again, back to the mind. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Boom! He's helping us. We're fighting the fight. So in your mind, the battle is raging. And you want to contend with another person. And he's saying, don't do it. I want to help you. I've given you the Word of God, the truth. What is the truth? The truth is that you're mixed up right now. You don't have clarity on what to look at. So trust in God with all your heart. You've been trusting in yourself. You've been trusting in these other voices. You're trusting me. You're trusting all kinds of things. Trust in God with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Don't try to figure it out. In all your ways, acknowledge him. God, you know what is right. I want to be led in the path of righteousness. How can a young man keep his way pure? By hiding God's word in your heart. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. It's God's word. That's how we fight the battle. So we need the truth. The second is the breastplate of righteousness. And so across the chest, I mean, your heart is there. And it's his righteousness. The enemy wants to convince you you're no good. You've fallen short. You've committed terrible sins. God doesn't want you. Church doesn't want you. Nobody needs you. Nothing is further from the truth. You put on the breastplate of righteousness and you stand strong. Stand strong in the Lord. It is written, my righteousness comes from Christ Jesus who died on the cross for me. He has declared me righteous. Has nothing to do with anything I did or didn't do. Has everything to do with what he has done for me. I have the breastplate of righteousness. I'm not going to be a target for your fiery dart. And then your feet, shod the feet, verse 15 of Ephesians 6, with the preparation of the gospel of peace. God has given us his word, and that's what we're about, giving out the word of God, having peace with God and the peace of God, bringing forth the good news, the message. Verse 16 of Ephesians 6, we're looking at the weapons that we've been given. Take the shield of faith, which you're able to extinguish the fiery darts of the wicked one. If I had a ball in my hand right now and I tossed it towards you, your first reaction would be like this. It would be to protect yourself. And he's saying the fiery darts are coming at you. Protect yourself with the shield of faith. It's God. It's faith in him. It's faith in his faithfulness for us, because those darts are coming and you're experiencing them. And the worst thing is friendly fire. That means Christians firing darts at other Christians in churches or in homes. Stop it. Quench those fiery darts. Sometimes I pray for other believers because they may be weak in faith or just discouraged, and I pray for a shield of faith around them. God, they're not able to hold that shield up. But God, quench those fiery darts that are being cast upon them. Verse 17, take up the helmet of salvation, protect your head, the saving faith in Jesus Christ, and the sword of the Spirit. Let's go on offense, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end. What are we talking about today? We're saying out of 2 Corinthians chapter 10, there is a battle going on. Paul was contending with it. People were coming at him within the church, false apostles. They were making accusations about him. He didn't retaliate in the flesh. Rather, he says, you know what? The weapons of my warfare are mighty in God for pulling down the arguments, the strongholds that are there. And he takes the word of God in Ephesians. He elaborates on that. And he says, man, put on the belt of truth. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Put on the gospel shoes. Have the shield of faith to extinguish the fiery darts of the enemy. Have the helmet of salvation. Have the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray always and at all times. Amen? So in these battles that we're in, God doesn't want you or I to live a defeated Christian life. First and foremost, know who your enemy is. It's not the person sitting next to you. It's not flesh and blood. It's principalities and powers. And many times Christians are ignorant to the spiritual warfare, and therefore they start to contend with other people, other Christians. There's a lack of joy. Be kind and tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ Jesus has forgiven us. Amen? Let's go ahead and stand. The worship team will come up, and you'll be very blessed by this final worship song. But in the meantime, I'd like to pray. Father, I do pray, and I know, God, that every one of us here as believers have experienced spiritual warfare, and probably more intense lately than at any other time. And I pray, God, through the word of God today, through your word, through the power of the Holy Spirit, through prayer, that the Spirit of God is saying, now is the time. Set aside any pride. Humble ourselves before you. Seek the heart of God. Seek to represent God accurately to your spouse, to your family, to your friends, to your church, to the world. God, may you allow your people to experience that victory in you today. You've accomplished for us, but we need to walk in it. So I do pray for that. And for anyone who you're here today, and I am so thankful, or listening online, God bless you. But you don't know, if you were to die tonight, would you go to heaven? Would you spend eternity with God? And many times the answer is, I hope so. Or sometimes the answer is, I hope my good works outweigh my bad. And as sincere as that answer may be, it's the wrong answer. Heaven is determined today, now, this side of the grave. And there's only two destinations, heaven and hell. That's the truth. No matter what the world says, there's no reincarnation or any other craziness. There's just two destinations prepared for you and for I. And we come humbly before Jesus and we say, I want a relationship with you. I want my sins forgiven, my guilt taken away. I want to be born again. I want to be new and in a right relationship. Forgive me of my sins. You can do that because of your death, burial, and resurrection, Jesus. Thank you for the gift of eternal life. In your name we pray. Amen.